Father, we thank you for a day like this. Blessed be your name for the blessings we have received in this conference so far. Our lives will never remain the same. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And now we shall continue with our leadership lecture. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise. Anybody blessed so far? Wasn't yesterday so amazing? Yesterday night. Idahosa is not a man of God. Idahosa is a man of God. Powerful. You can argue arguments, but you don't argue evidence. Hallelujah. God will give you an evidence that nothing can argue. In Jesus' precious name. And so we began to look at kingship as we saw the dimension of leadership and people influence. And I'd like us to look at the pillars we saw so far so that we can recap and then proceed from there. The pillars of leadership we saw so far from yesterday morning. First of all, we say that leaders are people of vision. The leader is a visionary. It's a person of vision. And then number two, we saw that the leader is a person of conviction. And thirdly, we saw that the leader is a person of character. Number four, that the leader is a trustable person, is a person that can be trusted. And then number five, we saw that leaders connect divine help and presence. We'll move beyond that this morning and see how fast we can go. Number six, the leader is a person of service. Is a person of service. Real leadership is service. In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 27, Luke 22 and in verse 27, he said, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." So leadership is service. You are the pastor of a church. Your assignment is service. You are the president of a nation, the governor of a state. Your assignment is service. You are called unto service. And now, we're going to look at the implication of that. First, the real leader seeks service, not status. He seeks service, not status. He is in search of the task to be carried out, not the title to carry. He seeks service, not status. The position you are calling him, the title you are calling him, is not what is important to him. He is in search of the task to be carried out, not the title you call him. Secondly, the real leader serves by producing value. He produces value. That's enhancing the status of both people and institutions. It enhances value. His service involves the enhancement or the production of value of both people and institutions. It's not just a space occupier. Thirdly, the real leader makes a positive difference. a positive difference. He doesn't leave people the way he met them. He doesn't leave institutions the way he met them. He makes a positive difference. Systems and institutions are shifted. You are the next leader of your organization. You are the next pastor of the location. Whatever is your assignment, by the time you step in there, you shifted it forward. He doesn't leave things the way he met them. Fourthly, under number six. The real leader serves by bringing satisfaction. People satisfaction, not personal remuneration. It brings satisfaction. Your service is confirmed when what you are doing brings satisfaction. People's frustrations are cleared out and you bring satisfaction. It is not self-remuneration, but people satisfaction. It serves to bring satisfaction. And finally, fifthly, the real leader fills vacuums, meets needs, and answers questions. He fills vacuums. Part of his service is to find out, Is there something to be filled? Where is there a vacuum to be filled? Where is there a need to meet? Where is there a question to answer? Whether of the peoples or of the organizations. He fills vacuums. He meets needs. He answers questions. That was what Jesus did in the wedding in Cana of Galilee. There was a need. There was a vacuum. He filled them. So the real leader, the leader is a person of service. Number seven, the leader serves with humility. Every real leader wears the robe of humility. One way to know that a person is a leader, real leadership, you see humility. Humility undergirds their authority. Anybody who lacks humility will lack leadership. People hardly follow an arrogant person. People and systems are hardly comfortable with a proud person. Real leadership, we read it, that scripture we read earlier on is still applicable here. Luke 22:27. You see, I am among you as one that serveth. I am not a boss. I am here to serve. So let us take it again. What's the implication of this? First, the leader derives his fulfillment from his assignment, not from his placement. So he's not proud. He derives his fulfillment from his assignment, not his placement. He derives his fulfillment from his function, not his position. So he doesn't raise the shoulder. What moves him the most is his assignment, not his placement. It is his function, not his position. So no raising of shoulder. Secondly, the leader is motivated not by the applause of men, but by impact on people. His motivation is not the applause of men, but impact on people. Clap for him, you don't clap for him, it doesn't mean anything. His greatest motivation is the impact. So, pride is not in his dictionary. There are most people who are wondering why people are not around them. It's because maybe you are so full of yourself. Thirdly, the leader struggles to give expressions, not to create impressions. He struggles to give expression. Expression to what? Expression to vision. Expression to aspirations. Expression to the compassion in his heart. Again, the leader struggles to give expressions, not create impressions. He's not trying to impress you. He's trying to give expression. There is a burden in his heart. There's a compassion. There is conviction. There is vision. There is passion. There is potential he carries. And he's not trying to impress you with it. He's trying to give expression to them. Fourthly, the leader does not live in a world that is centered around himself. He refuses to live in that world. That's the origin of pride. He does not live in a world that is filled with or centered around himself. He doesn't. What does he mean of that? He is relational. He is relatable. He does not live in a world that is filled with himself. He does not live in a world that is centered around himself. He lives in that world with others in mind. It's relational. It's relatable. Most people live in a world that is filled with themselves. So people leave them alone. Like I say many times, when you are full of yourself, you are empty of people. Many people have gone very far, would have gone very far, but they are so full of themselves. Young man wants everybody to be running around them. Finally, the leader in his humility, the leader is reachable, touchable, and accessible. It's reachable, touchable, accessible. The woman with the issue of blood was able to touch Jesus. It takes humility to be reachable. It takes humility to be touchable. And it takes humility to be accessible. It's real leadership. As we group, beloved brothers and sisters, pastors, ministers, please, let us not come to a point where we are not reachable anymore. Where we are not touchable anymore. Where we are not accessible anymore. Let's not come to that point. You know what happened to us? Many of us don't know how healing and deliverance service started. In healing and deliverance service, you come to the office, you see 100 people waiting to be counseled. This one has a sickness. This one has a deliverance problem. Nightmares. He has this and he has that. And then the next day you come, you see crowd again. We'll not be able to continue like this. So let's have one day of the week where everybody who is in need of one prayer for healing, one prayer for deliverance, one prayer for this or that, let all of them come together. That was how it started in Area 1, in the basement. You remember the basement? When the construction of Area 1 church was starting. That was how it started. We need to reach them. We need to pray for them. We need to touch them. But one by one by one by one will be too tiring. It was impossible. And that was why it started. And we began to pray for the people one en masse. And then the healings and miracles and all of that began to happen. And we were able to handle people's challenges at once. It was not to prove that there was healing power. It was not even to give ourselves work. It was, let us see a way where all these people who come can feel touched. And even with that, people still hang around. And still wait for counseling. And we still do our best. Praise the Lord. So we must come to the point. And let me tell the usher some things. You know, at times it is in my mind that the way we do these days, if there was a lot of that kind of protocol in the day of Jesus Christ, the woman with the issue of blood would not have gotten her miracle. That is a bomb. I was reading the Bible and I saw it. The woman with the issue of blood would not have gotten her miracle because there will be enough people to shield her. While we try our best to maintain order, let us not make leaders unreachable. It's a balance. Because some of those who are trying to come are also trying to come with the evil motive. We know of that. But let that balance be so tidy that we don't come to the point where we are practically unreachable. My PA knows that there is no way I will shrink back when they say that this person is terminal or this person has a very... I don't need to know them from anywhere. I rush at once. No protocol. This is a desperate case. This is a desperate situation. This is a desperate need. No protocol at all. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important that we bear that in mind. Please don't lose the humility. The reason why people look for you is the mercy of God. That you are not the one looking for somebody is not by your power. I'm telling you the truth. You could have been the one looking for prayer. You could have been the one looking for counseling. You could have been the one at the receiving end of something. Not of him that willeth. It's not that you fasted more than others. The Bible said it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. So the leader is a person serves with humility. Number eight. I think I'm making more progress this morning. Number eight, the leader is a compassionate person. Compassionate. Real leadership. It's compassion. In the book of Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 14. Matthew 14 and in verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. The leader is a compassionate person. Listen to this. A heart for the people is the heart of leadership. A heart for people. A heart for people is at the heart of leadership. Every leader who is an influencer of people has a heart for people. It's at the heart of leadership. If you remember Joseph, he was in the prison and saw other prisoners suffering, and he decided to interpret their dreams. He didn't need to do that. He saw them sad and he was moved. If you remember David saw Goliath humiliating his people and he was moved with compassion and felt that something needed to be done. Now, look at the following as the meaning of what we are talking about. First, the leader has deep connections. Challenges of people. He has deep connections. He is not detached from the reality of the people. He's not detached. So he can do something about it. He has deep connections. That was what happened for Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1, if you read from verse 1 to verse 3, you will see that it's the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came and he and certain men of Judah asked, them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity. That was the connection I'm talking about. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. The leader has deep connections with the challenges of the people. He has that deep connection. And if you don't have it, you must ask God for it. One of the things that was my greatest difficulty in medical practice when I did, before I stepped into ministry, one of my greatest difficulty was that I took the problems of people too personal. A patient dies and I'm not comfortable for the next 3 days. My wife was aware. I'm miserable. What could have been done for this person? Miserable. One day I was going to in a crusade in Otukpo. I was sobbing in the car on the way to the crusade ground. I was sobbing. My wife was saying, "It is well. What is it?" I said, "The young lady just called me." And she was crying. He said, "Please don't let me die." Teenager, cancer. The message came just before I could step. And my cry, "Oh Lord, how many people are in this kind of condition? They don't have anybody to call. And I don't know her. Just got a call randomly." So that connection is what most leaders in office don't have. They are totally detached. Your Excellency is there, and all the normal people are on the ground. They don't have no connection. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? This is very, very important, because you can't heal what you don't feel. You are unable to heal what you don't feel, especially as it pertains to leadership. This feeling must be there for people. Hallelujah. So the leader has deep connections, and number two is connected to the first. So once in a while, why don't you visit a hospital or pass by where people are suffering? Take your time and meditate on the challenges of the people around you, around your life. Secondly, the leader sits where the people sit, feels what the people feel, meaning the leader puts himself in the shoes of the people. He puts himself in the shoes of the people. The leader sits where the people sit. He feels what the people feel. He puts himself in the shoes of the people. Like I said, because what we feel determines what we can heal. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15. Ezekiel 3:15. He said, "And I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Keba, and I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished among them 7 days." You put yourself in the shoes of the people. Know what happens to me? Some of our pastors who are in rural areas and villages, their text message and call catch my attention faster. It catches my attention the fastest. He is standing to confirm. He can call me from anywhere, from Alebi, from Otukpa, from everywhere, from Pakistan. So in the land here, terrorist or whatever, whether it is the middle of the night, I must respond to that call, because I just picture myself in the village there and how I will handle the situation. God raises a man and uses him to raise many people. And the people are everywhere in cities and in villages. I could have been in the village too. If not that, he says, be where you are, raise the people, and let the world be invaded. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you sit where the people sit, you feel what they feel. When Paul was in Liberia during the Ebola crisis, people were dying like flies. We were on call almost every day. When you were there in Maiduguri, Yola, during the heat of terrorism, suicide bombing, we were together on the call almost permanently. And God help us in those situations, not a hair drop from anybody. So if we will be able to put ourselves, one of the young men said they gave him money for accommodation, but it was not enough. What is officially available is not able to, because of where he is right now. And it went up. He doesn't know what to do. I said, come, let me handle it with you. Just me and you. Okay, so what are we going to do? I am happy you didn't ask anybody else. And I'm happy you didn't ask member or anybody. It's me you are asking. So I'll give you my pocket money from the pocket to make you not be stranded. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about, it's not 500,000, 600,000, it's not 1 million. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So many times we are detached. But once in a while, or as frequently as possible, we put ourselves in the shoes of the led and picture yourself in the shoes. It will generate the compassion that will produce the result. Thirdly, the meaning of this is the leader is not ashamed to express emotions of compassion and empathy where necessary. It's not ashamed. Those emotions of compassion at times are needed. Where people can see from your face, hear from your voice, that whatever it is moved you, it moves you. And when there is the need to cry, you cried. Nehemiah cried. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4 or 5 to 5. He cried, he wept. You keep going. And then I wept, sat down many days. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That is the leader of all leaders. He had enough compassion to weep when there is the need to weep. Hallelujah. You see, there is a heart of a shepherd. That is what makes the shepherd, some shepherds, to carry a sheep and put them on his shoulder, on the neck. So an experiment was performed where they took the dress of a shepherd and put it on the body of a non-shepherd and gave that non-shepherd the shepherd's staff. And then the real shepherd was not wearing his shepherd cloth. And they started moving and they were wondering, who will the sheep follow? The sheep followed the one with the heart of the shepherd, not the one with the dress of the shepherd. They still followed the real shepherd. Because there is a heart of leadership that is a magnet of followership. It is a heart of compassion. There's a heart of leadership that is a magnet of followership. It is the heart of compassion. And compassion is in degrees. You move it from where it is now to higher levels, and you see higher levels of followership. So this morning, we have seen how that the leader is a person of service. The leader serves with humility. The leader is compassionate. And number four, the leader is open to feedback. Feedback. The leader is open to feedback. It is said that feedback is the breakfast of champions, of leaders. Feedback. Feedback is a feed. Anybody who is angry when people give him feedback, or when people give him, try to tell him perspectives of things, is not a leader. People who get, you know, they are trying to criticize me, is not a leader. It's not a leader at all. People are trying to help you. You say they are attacking you. Service is getting too long, sir. Somebody may say. You say, but I'm led of the Spirit. It's okay. There are services we make long, and so that we can express, however, 8 hours in His presence, 12 hours in His presence, worship Lord and wonders night, and all of that. But when some people come with a certain mindset, and then you flow accordingly and trust the Lord. But when it becomes so disorderly permanently, then you have a problem. Am I communicating at all? You have a problem. There are services that are tailored towards several things. Some is strictly teaching and so forth. You have a problem. Now, so why is feedback necessary now? Let me look at 4 or 5 things concerning feedback. First of all, the leader is open to feedback from the people to assess himself and his leadership impact. That is, you are the one assessing yourself. You are open to feedback from the people. And when I say leader, it's every one of us. You have a shop, you work in an office, anywhere. You assess your leadership. Your own leadership impact. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 31. You look at what the Bible said. For if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. The opposite is true. If we will not judge ourselves, we will be judged. So somebody may see, whenever people who love you talk to you, take it serious. When those who hate you talk to you, you can say, okay, this one is talking out of bitterness and out of envy or jealousy and he hates me, but there may still be things to pick out of what they say. Because those who hate you are always permanently looking for your fault. So they are the easiest people to show you the faults. Secondly, the leader is open to feedback from the people to know what the people feel or think about his leadership. Is open to feedback from the people to know what the people think or feel about his leadership in order to make adjustments where necessary. You are open to feedback from the people to know what they think, what they feel. Matthew 16, 13. Jesus said, what do men say that I am? I know you all. I know. You people will be praising me and healing me, but what are they saying in town about me? What do they think? What are people saying? How am I doing? See, some say you are Elijah, some say you are this and that. It's okay, but what do you say? So you want to know what is the feeling? What is the thinking? It's important. That feedback is important. That feedback is important. Thirdly, there are times we sit with our pastors and I say, oh, can we, this and that that we are doing, how is it? Let's hear what are the people saying and so forth. And they speak. This is this, this is that. If this can be done like this, maybe it will, you know, we have those kind of meetings permanently. And it's not saying, why do you think we don't know what we're doing? No. How is it? What are they saying? Pastor, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Thirdly, the leader is open to feedback from the people to know the exact state of the followership. In order to be of greater service, the exact state of the followership, the exact state of the followership. So we have some combined services where locations are connecting. And they say, oh, this particular location, they cannot stay beyond 6 p.m. or they can't stay beyond 7 p.m. because of this kind of situation in their place. We get such feedbacks. And then we adjust some things accordingly. Am I communicating? We get such feedbacks. Oh, this kind of place, oh, this is what he said. All right, so this is what we'll do. The exact state of the followership in order to be of great service. What is their exact situation? What is their exact state? When we realize that the situation in the nation became so intense, and people are even struggling to feed or struggling to transport, we began to do raw welfare in church every Sunday. We did that for almost a year. And we relaxed a little bit because the people that were coming for it were not following certain instructions. Hallelujah. So the exact, in Proverbs 27 and in verse 23, Proverbs 27 and in verse 23, he said, be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to thy herds. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to thy herds. That's your followership. In John chapter 2 and in verse 3, the Bible said, when they had no wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. So then you need to know the exact state. What is the true picture on ground? Fourthly, the leader is open to feedback from the people to know where to reduce their frustration and improve their satisfaction. It's open to feedback from the people to know where to reduce their frustration or eliminate their frustration. I think that's the best word. To know where to eliminate their frustration and improve their satisfaction. Are you ready? The statement has not ended. It's open to feedback from the people to know where to eliminate their frustration, improve their satisfaction, thereby improving their dedication, their commitment. That is, you want to know, how are the people faring? What are they thinking about issues?
Eliminate their frustration. When we have multiple services here, challenges, traffic, access, the time it takes for people to go to close and go back home, and all of those kind of things, we have to look at it, open up more roads, do this and that. And when the frustration is eliminated, satisfaction is increased, dedicated followership is improved. It's improved. This is practical. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 2 to verse 5, you saw the parable or the story. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon. And Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. And they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put on us. Make it lighter, and we will serve you. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days. Then come again to me. And the people departed. Keep going. And the king consulted, Rehoboam consulted with the old man that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I answer these people? And they spake unto him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people this day, and will serve them, answer them well, speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. What the people are looking for is not too much. Clean out their frustration. Give them satisfaction. They will give you dedication. Hallelujah. And the young man abandoned the council, as most young men will do, and went to his Gen Z colleagues, who told him, don't mind those bastards. What? That was how the kingdom ended. Many of us lost our leadership because we don't care for anything. We are not open to feedback. When they tell us, we say they are challenging our authority. Who are you to challenge me? Do you know when I was called? The leader is open to feedback. And finally, the leader is open to feedback from the people to confirm his heart, love, and care for the welfare of the people. Confirming your heart for people. Confirming your care for people. Confirming your love for the people. You are open to their feedback. Pastors, please, let's take this matter serious. Pastors, every one of us, dynamis pastors. Take it serious. Many of us, if at times we will listen to the people where we are and adjust some things and not think that they are attacking us, reports will not come higher. Report won't come higher. It won't come higher. Except if there is a devil that is sent and you can deal with the devil. Somebody say amen. Are we ready for number 10? Or I can stop here now. Has anybody got anything so far? All right, number 10. The leader is a person who accepts responsibility. It's a person who accepts responsibility. Like Winston Churchill said, responsibility is the price of greatness. The leader accepts responsibility. I think it was Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 that says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. The leader accepts responsibility. Accepts responsibility. The leader who will not accept responsibility may die as a liability. When the leader is not accepting responsibility, he is existing as a liability, a burden.
Now, what does it mean to accept responsibility? Now, what is the implication of this? Again, I will itemize 5 things. Now, A, the leader who accepts responsibility is the leader who is response ready. Response ready. Meaning he is available to rise to different challenges or occasions. He's available. He is response ready. He's not the one who drags feet. He's response ready. Available to rise to different challenges or occasions. David was response ready. When he came to the battle and he saw Goliath, he didn't have to go back home to think twice. He was response ready. He was equal to the task at all times. Secondly, the leader who is responsible holds himself accountable for the provision of solutions per time. He holds himself accountable for the provision of solutions per time. When something needs to be done, he's not looking for who should do this. It's a matter of what can I do to solve this problem? How do I solve this problem? How do we get this problem solved? He holds himself accountable for the provision of solutions per time. Joseph was in the prison. He saw the faces of prisoners sad. He held himself accountable. He held himself. He put it on himself. These people must not be sad where I am. The real leader does not look for who will do it. That's why I'm driving on the road. I see people on the ground. I pick it on the spot. There is somebody who is meant to do that, but if I wait for that person, the whole place may be messed up. I can challenge that person later. What is your duty when you go to a 5-star hotel, you see a real manager or a supervisor passing to Hilton or something. He sees a paper on the ground. He doesn't pass it. They are not trained to walk past it or to go and look for who is the head of environmental or whatever it is. That's not their training. He picks the paper, puts it in the pocket first. Then he goes. He sees another one, he picks it and puts it in his pocket first. At the end of the day, he might bring the picture of those papers to the supervisor in charge of that and attach it with a query. But I am not going to leave it and come to talk to you. Let me solve the problem first. That's why things degenerate everywhere. Everybody is looking. It's not my job description. It's not on my schedule. Things are degenerating and decaying. That's why they remain at the level they are, because they have not accepted responsibility. And it is when we accept responsibility that we step into authority. It doesn't have to be your job schedule if you see spider and to remove it from there. It doesn't have to be your job schedule. So the leader, he holds himself accountable. Thirdly, the leader is proactive, not reactive. He takes the initiative. He's proactive, not reactive. He takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for who will do the right thing first. He goes ahead and does them. He anticipates things and does them ahead. He's proactive, not reactive. He takes the initiative. He doesn't wait for who will do it first. He goes ahead and gets them done. Fourthly, the leader does not take or give excuses. Ordinary people have excuse.
The leader lacks excuse. He does not give, he doesn't take. This is the reason why this cannot be done. He doesn't understand. either you find a way or you make a way. I tell our people, I say, whenever you say this is the reason that this is not done, in the same submission, write how it can be done. It can be done. This is what, don't just surrender problems. The reason why you have head is so that you can get ahead. I mean, when you see a person, the only thing he tells you is why something cannot be done. That is liability existence. There is a way, there must be a way. There must be a way. Under all conditions, there is a way. He said, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also do what? Somebody say, there is a way. No matter what, there is a way. So that is what to look for. You don't give, you don't take it. You sit, you think it through. The way we pray through, you think things through also. And then you move forward. Finally, the leader is a worker. Responsibility means the leader accepts responsibility by being a tireless worker. The leader is not lazy. Tireless worker. He does not dodge tasks. And he does not evade duty. Worker. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. It's leadership. Leadership is not the assignment of the lazy. You must be a worker. Somebody say a loud amen. Anybody received anything so far, say amen. You receive anything so far, say amen. We'll go to the next level, but I want us to pray about what we have received so far. Can we stand up on our feet? Lift up your hands and give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration, the worship, and the supremacy, and the dominion. Say after me, say, Father, thank you for the grace for leadership. Thank you
for the privilege
of receiving
what you have spoken to me
today.
Be glorified Lord
in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and your hands and just speak to God right now. Yeah.
Hold the hand of somebody near you and pray in agreement with them, asking the Lord, Lord, help this your child to a higher level of leadership.
Higher level of leadership.
You know, pastors, I realized that for a long time we thought about anointings, we thought about fire, we thought about gifts of the Spirit and all of that. And the very, very critical dimension of leadership. Because it is people we are dealing with. And that is lacking. So the person with the same anointing scattered the church. No leadership. No leadership. They gave him position. After a while, everybody resigned. And the person has first class degree. It's a good brain, but no leadership. The company lost people, lost resources, lost everything. Because a person with brain without any leadership quality is there. In our training in medical school, some of our medical doctors are here. Then, I don't know about now, you studied anatomy, you studied physiology, you studied biochemistry, you studied microbiology, parasitology, immunology, virology, bacteriology, all the logies, histology, everything, surgery, pediatrics, O and G. But never one course at any time on leadership or human resource management or even administration. All of it. So the person is a good surgeon. Open the hospital, but it's not growing the way it should. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or even heard something. Even though people develop themselves and they read around all of these things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I think the curriculum has changed in many places right now, and they are teaching a lot of things now. So it is possible to be. Many degree holders are not successful in real life. They were trained to pass exams, but never trained to live. So this is very, very critical. Let's take it serious. Let's be pastors and let's be leaders over the flock. Let's be engineers and let's be leaders. Let's be doctors and let's be leaders. You cannot believe that intelligent man, gynecologist, is a professor today. But somebody told me an encounter she had with the husband and his wife had with this man, and it was very heartbreaking. So they did IVF procedure and got pregnant, and the pregnancy was lost. And it didn't work. Sir, what happened? Oh, well, I don't know. So the pregnancy is lost, yes. People trusting God for almost 10, 12, 13 years.
So what do we do now? Well, you can try your luck another time. So heartless, so callous. No trace of empathy. Insensitive. Dealing with something that is somebody's passion. Well, he has the brain, he studied it, he's not there, and he's earning his salary. Whether you get your child or not, he will receive his pay. And by the way, all the procedures you did, you have paid for it, and there's no refund. Do you think that, that person told me the story. He may tell others the experience with such a person. Pray for the person whose hand you are holding. Lord, grace to function in leadership and to lead well in my generation. I receive that grace. Go ahead and pray for that person. Want to go? Father, that grace release upon this your child. Hallelujah, be seated in the presence of the Lord. What I perceive that I will do is that I'll take one or two more and then we'll reserve the rest till the evening. I just thought I'll finish it this morning. We'll just do number 11 and 12 and then we will proceed into the impartation this morning. So we are number 11 now, right? 11. The leader provides inspiration and motivation for the people. He provides inspiration and motivation for the people. Judges chapter 17 and 18. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of a camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. First, the leader functions as the picture of the person the followership must be. He functions as the picture of the person. As the picture of the person the followership ought to be. That function. Don't struggle, just function. It has been said that people hear what you say, but they do what you do. You just function as that picture. You don't struggle. Secondly, the leader inspires and motivates the followership to be better versions of themselves in all ways. We inspire them, we motivate them. You can be better than this. You can get more results than this. You have more potential than what you are currently manifesting. That kind of a thing. It motivates and inspires the followership to be better versions of themselves. You inspire them. You motivate them. I believe that the best of human beings come out by motivation. In the military, it's a great thing. In the sports arena, it's a great thing. Motivation. Better versions of themselves. Of themselves. Thirdly, the leader inspires and motivates the followership onto higher results and impact. At times through the reward system. The leader inspires and motivates motivates followership onto higher results and impact. Again, I said at times through the reward system. When people do the right thing, get higher results,
and they don't have any, and they don't experience any reward or any, nothing encourages them, you know, they are on the same level with everybody else who is not doing nothing, that is a demotivation. But when people do the right thing or get higher results or higher impact, and there is every admin, please listen to this. When people do get higher results and their reward or return is the same with those who do nothing, that is a killer of aspiration. But when people do things and they are motivated and with a reward system, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," and he did something higher than others, Jesus shifted him immediately. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church." And he did that publicly. Everybody heard it. Because Peter did something, said something, got into a realm that others didn't get. He pushed him to a level that others are not. And this is where we must begin to place results and principles, like I said, above sentiments. Okay, but this person is older than this person. It doesn't matter. If you are older than this person, but you are not producing the result this person is producing, we shouldn't let him sink because you are not rising. So this is very, very important. The leader motivates, inspires and motivates the fellowship unto higher results and impact at times through the reward system. Fourthly, the leader's great assignment is to bring out the potentials of the people, to bring out the best of the people. That is part of the motivation. You're bringing out the potentials, bringing out the best of the people. Again, like what Jesus did to Simon Peter, brings out the best of the people, brings out the potentials of the people. This is point number 11. The leader provides inspiration and motivation for the people. Number 12, the leader possesses, the leader has the capacity to communicate clearly. Communication, clear communication, quality communication is a character of good leadership, to communicate clearly. Communication is one of the greatest strengths of the leader. Communication and communicating clearly. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and in verse 17, we see how Nehemiah was communicating. Then said I unto them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Hallelujah. That was very clear communication. So let us x-ray this communication. What are we talking about, number one, or A? The leader communicates, or rather, the leader causes visions, convictions, and goals. Okay, let me start first. The leader communicates to paint the clear picture of situations on ground. He communicates to present a clear picture of situations on ground per time. You see the condition we are in. Secondly, the leader communicates the vision and convictions of his heart
in an understandable manner.
He communicates in a way. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 10. He said the preacher sought to use acceptable words. To find acceptable words. Understandable manner. Let the vision be understood. Thirdly, the leader communicates visions in a way that the vision can be pursued. He communicates vision in a way that will cause the vision to be pursued. Because what is not understood cannot be pursued. In a way that will cause the vision to be pursued. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Write the vision, make it plain that he may run that readeth it. Many people are not pursuing what we want them to pursue because they don't understand it. Fourthly, right? Is that a fourth? The leader communicates the vision clearly to cause the people to know the worth or value of the vision. They should know the worth. Is it a worthy cause? Is this cause a worthy cause? You say we should evangelize. Why? Is it a worthy cause? What is the value of this pursuit? Let us go and flush out these terrorists so that this nation does not become a reproach to the world. Is it a worthy cause? Is it a worthy cause? It's a shame for us to be a nation as big as this and external helpers are coming to help us. It's a shame. It's a shame to our name. Let us go. All we need to do, let's do it and clear out this reproach from our name. Communicates the vision to a point where the people know the worth of the vision, the value of the vision, the reason why they should take any risk. And finally, the leader communicates vision clearly for people to understand their stake in the vision, their stake. Well, I have done what you want me to do. Is there anything in it for me? Whether we like it or not, human beings want to know if there is anything in it. They want to know. You shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and your water. Even though it is not bread that is making me serve God. But God has to put bread. I'm going to serve God with or without bread. But the Almighty God is encouraging me that I'm not calling you to suffer you. I think I can stop here today. When I sent you without pause or scrip to go and evangelize, lacked ye anything? Luke 22:35. And they say nothing. He is encouraging them. Even me who sent you to go and win souls. Did you go on empty stomach? Did you suffer? He said nothing. So I'm not calling you to waste you. Very, very important. In the organizations, one of the greatest secrets of the success of Microsoft then was that most of the employees at the early level were not workers, they were shareholders. They owned shares. So the more the company profited, the more they enlarged. So you have billionaires who are on staff. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important. And visions must be communicated clearly. Now, why do we make references to those kind of places when we are preaching? Solomon said you can learn from everything. You learn from the hyssop.
that springeth from the wall, and you learn from the cedar in Lebanon, and you learn from everything. Beloved, I think we have had enough saturation for this morning. Let me see if I can continue later on. Stand up on your feet.
My vision and prayer is that every church and every minister and every pastor and every organization and every government worker, civil servant, and everyone in every realm will pick up this thing, go through them like a workbook system. Go through them, practicalize them. Your co-laborers and employee and staff in your organization will wonder, what happened to this man? This man that used to talk roughly to everybody as if he owns the whole world. What changed? What changed? This one that doesn't care for anybody as if he's just a demigod. See, he has learned leadership. He's become a leader. He's not just a ruler. He's a leader now. He's a leader now. He's a people person. And don't forget the definitions of leadership. You become the person that people gladly want to follow without force, without coercion, without intimidation, without compulsion. They want to follow. They want to be around you. They are glad to do so. Hallelujah. It's a new day. Huh? Yes, we have to put this course in Dynamic School of Ministry. A leadership course, as it were. Yeah. So that we don't only teach people. But fire, fire. Somebody scream fire. And it is good. That will roast the devils. But at the time that has happened, what about the people, the human being? They are people, they are human beings that you need to relate and deal with. As a pastor, as a head of department, all heads of department need this. There are departments that are doing divide and rule. You are on my side, you are on this side. Those are no leaders at all. When Abraham Lincoln became president, everybody who worked against him, everybody who contested against him, he recruited them. He didn't want any division here and there. He pulled them all around. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Would you lift up your hands everywhere you are? And one more time, we have already done a little praying, but lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, louder, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. All right, let's pray this. After that, we have some 1 or 2 ministrations, and then we'll proceed into impartation this morning. You came with your bottles of oil. All right. Let's take a 3 minutes praying very, very quickly, and then we'll go into full blast praise. And then return back to ministration. We should be done before 12:30. Lift your hands and voice and say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I receive this word and I receive the grace to run with it, to produce desired results in my life, in my assignment, in my endeavor, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray.
Ha 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 ha!